The tribulation's coming, but is it going to happen overnight, or are we going to build up to it? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're tuned into another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and I thank you for that. We have been dealing with and talking about the tribulation period. And it's really kind of interesting the way the Bible presents the information about the tribulation. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of buildup. In some ways there is, but in some ways there isn't. It's almost as if overnight we go from relative peace and safety to a time when the horrors of the tribulation are visited upon the entire earth and all of global society is completely or nearly completely overtaken by evil. And so we kind of wonder, it's like, well, how does that happen? I don't normally do this, but I'm recommending a book that I have not written. It was not written by me. It was written by a gentleman by the name of Patrick M. Wood. And the name of his book is Technocracy Rising. The byline is The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And what is fascinating to me about this book, and again, it's called Technocracy, T-E-C-H-N-O-C-R-A-C-Y, Technocracy Rising. What's fascinating about this book is he goes into tremendous amount of detail regarding how the transformation is going to occur and is, in fact, he believes, taking place now. And it's being guided by the technocracy movement or technocrats in general. And let me just give you a brief rundown on the chapters, starting with chapter one, the backdrop for technocracy. It goes back to actually before the 1930s, but the movement itself began in the 1930s. Chapter two, From Passion to Meltdown, covers period 1920 to 1940. And then chapter three, The Trilateral Commission. Chapter four, Transforming Economics. Chapter five, Transforming Government. Chapter 6, Transforming Religion. Chapter 7, Transforming Law. Chapter 8, Transforming Energy, Global Smart Grid. Chapter 9, Total Surveillance Society. Chapter 10, Transforming Humanity. Chapter 11, Taking Action. And then he concludes in Chapter 12. And he's got a number of appendices there that also deal with it. But the interesting thing about this book is, and there are others similar, other authors have brought out similar things in society, is the reason we don't see what's really happening underneath is because it's all underneath. What we see happening are the results, in some cases, of these things that have taken place. But if I were to mention to you Energy Web or Internet of Things or Smart Grid, you might have some understanding of what a smart grid is, but I'd be willing to say that you probably or may not have heard of Energy Web or the Internet of Things and how a literal non-physical, it's a physical system in a way, but it's more of an electronic system. How that system is being built right under our noses and we're unaware of it. And so we have this situation rising to the surface where all of a sudden it will seem as though everything is in place and now the tribulation can begin. And here's the man who's going to make it happen, the Antichrist, and here is the covenant that he's going to confirm with the many, Daniel 9:27, et cetera, et cetera. But all of that, so much of it is taking place under our noses, behind the scenes, and we don't even see what's going on. And every once in a while, we'll see the results of something that sneaks up, but I really think that this is why the Bible does not give us too much information on how the system, and we can call it the system of Babylon, because in many ways that's exactly what it is. Unlike Genesis 11, where a physical structure, a physical building was being built in the shape of a pyramid or a ziggurat or something, if we were to see that today, we'd go, ooh, that's not a good thing. Look, it's taking place. They're building the Babylon system. And we know that that's what happened in Genesis 11. And even though some people point out, for instance, oh, the parliamentary building of the European Union based in Strasbourg, Germany, looks like the Tower of Babel based on a painting, and the people in the EU will admit, oh yeah, it's a nod to the Tower of Babel. But that itself that's built today in the European Union is not the system of Babylon that the Bible talks about. It's merely a wink to it. And what is being built, the system of Babylon that is being built, that will one day be thoroughly revealed because it will have been built. Right now, they're keeping things on the down low because they don't want people to know what's going on. And anytime there's discussion of it, oh, those people who discuss it, bring to those things to the surface, are quickly, you know, passed off as kooks, conspiracy theorists, that kind of thing. But in reality, obviously something has to be being built that will be available to the coming Antichrist so that he will be able to fully rule the world, as the Bible says he will be. So I want to recommend that book to you. And again, you know, I don't normally do that. I only recommend the books that I've written, but I'm pretty impressed with this one. And it is by Patrick M. Wood, W-O-O-D, Technocracy Rising. And it's published by Coherent Publishing. You can get that on Amazon.com. You can go to the website technocracyrising.com and learn more about the book and the author as well. But eventually there will come a point when everything will be in place, and that means that things can move ahead and progress to the point where both Satan wants it to go and ultimately God is allowing it to go. Now, I would like to emphasize again that according to Daniel 9:27, the final week of man-led history begins with a very, very specific event. And that verse basically tells us that a guy we know as Antichrist, will come to the surface. And the verse says, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, people argue about all the time, well, what does this really mean? Who is it talking about? Well, I believe, to me, it's plainly obvious that he's talking about the Antichrist here in the book of Daniel. And there has been, we don't have time to go into this, I mentioned another book I wrote called Between Weeks, also available through Amazon.com. That this guy, Antichrist, will make a covenant, but there is this gap that takes place between the 69th week, when the Messiah will be cut off, and after that, okay, there are some things that need to take place. Those things will need to occur before this final week that talks about in Daniel 9:27, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. Before that week begins, there are things that need to happen. The Messiah is cut off. There will be, tribulations and wars until the end. And these things happen until this week starts. So the 69th week ended when Jesus walked into, or actually rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, a colt, and that was what we call the triumphal entry. He entered into Jerusalem, and the people received him as the coming Messiah, but then the leaders of Judaism rejected him and ultimately condemned him to the death of a blasphemer. And so he was then crucified to death. Well, that was the end of the 69th week. And there are things that need to happen before this covenant can begin, before this covenant will be made. And that covenant will be brokered or confirmed by the Antichrist. And so the system that is being built is literally this new system of Babylon, which is very complex And again, Patrick M. Wood goes into a great deal about it, and I've written some articles on this at my website, studygrownow.com, and you can read about them there. But people speak in parables, and, you know, they'll sit there and people will say, oh, goodness, you know, this Daniel 9:27, that can't be true. There must be something else to it. There's got to be a code, a mystery that needs to be unlocked. What does the author really mean? Well, there is one meaning for every metaphor that's used. If I say something like, gosh, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, people will obviously know what I mean if they're familiar with that phrase. If they're not familiar with the phrase, they might be tempted to think that I'm really going to go out and eat a horse. But by just simply saying, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, people would understand that to mean that I'm really hungry. And the exaggerated phrase I've used to describe my hunger is to emphasize the fact that I'm really hungry. So I really think we need to dispense with the guessing games here and the ethereal interpretations of the Bible. And we've got to look at Scripture the way we understand general discussion. And, you know, it helps us understand it. Now, in Daniel 9:27, it says that the final 7 years of human history, the week, remember, it says the week. It says, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. In that entire context of chapter 9, that context, a week is 7 years. And that's easy to prove, and I've done so in my book, Between Weeks. Other authors have done the same thing, and still people go, well, I'm not so sure. That's up to you to make your own decision, but the information is there, and it does make sense. Now, in the middle of that week, what's the middle of a week? 3.5 days, right? In this case, if it's 7 years, it's 3.5 years. So in the middle of the week, he's going to put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And then he's going to desolate, somehow, the temple. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew 24, where this guy will waltz in and basically set himself up as God. Antiochus Epiphanes tried to do that in 168 BC. Caligula tried to do that around, 40 AD or before. I forget. I've got my dates confused there possibly. But Caligula tried to do the same thing. He tried to set up a statue of himself inside the Jewish temple, the Holy of Holies. Didn't happen. And Antiochus Epiphanes, even though he went in with a slaughtered pig, took the blood, you know, spread it and sprinkled it around the inside of the Holy of Holies, it defiled the temple. And this is what the Antichrist is going to do. And we need to be aware of this. And the Bible tells us. So it says that in the final 7 years of human history, it will begin when he, the Antichrist, brokers or confirms the covenant with the many. And the many here, I believe, are Israel's leaders, because that's the intended recipient of this information from Daniel's perspective. The angel is explaining to Daniel what's going to happen to his people and his city. His people are the Jews. His city is Jerusalem. Now, we can sit there and go, well, yeah, okay, but let's that doesn't really mean that. It's allegory. It means something else. There's no reason to allegorize it. None. Absolutely none, yet people do. So we're talking about a 7-year period, even though the word week is used, and because, as I mentioned, the entire context of Daniel 9 is referencing weeks that equal 7-year periods of time. It refers to Israel because the full chapter of chapter 9 refers to Israel. You can't somehow just simply insert the church 2,000 years or more later and go, oh, it really meant the church. That's ultimately what it meant. No, it didn't. It means what it meant then, Israel. Now, once the tribulation begins, we see God's judgment begin to pour out on the earth. And we've already gone over seals 1 and 2, which are the revealing of the Antichrist as he confirms a covenant of peace for a period of 7 years. And then the second seal is war breaking out over the earth. Well, what about seal 3? Well, things are not looking good at all once the tribulation begins. And we know from history that whenever there have been wars, there have been followed with pestilence, disease, famines. And now, I've got an upcoming book where I include many charts, and we talk about in this book the famines, earthquake activity as well. This is what Jesus spoke about in his Olivet Discourse that would be precursors and lead up to the tribulation period. Well, we have about 6 seconds to go. Thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate you being with me here. We'll continue this next time. And until we meet again, I pray that the Lord will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.